We're in Colossians chapter 1, verse 9 through 14. In a world of deception, know who you are. Isn't that something? Know who you are. If you would stand for reading of the Word of God, we honor God's Word by standing when we read it. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. This is the Word of God. Please be seated. In a world of deception, know who you are. I'm going to be using this term, be all in. If you're going to be a Christian, be all in to Christianity. Do not allow the media. Now, you got 24/7 inputs, don't you? Do not allow the media, Hollywood, friends, government, university professors who give input into people. Any hero, any cult, anybody, any place, anywhere, do not allow the world to seduce you with carnality and with a worldview that is contrary to God's Word. Do not allow that to happen. Do not allow anyone or anything to keep you from Christ. A secular worldview or a Christian worldview, which do you have? You can't be in both camps. There's no straddling between the two. Which world are you going to live in? So that's the preface to this. Be all in. In a world of deception, know who you are. Now, where have we been in Colossians? Just a brief review. As you know, we take just a few seconds to review. It's written from a prison in Rome. It's written by Paul, who was an apostle, apostolos. Remember, a sent one. That's what an apostle is, an apostle of Christ. It was written because Epaphras, which is in 1:7, a guy named Epaphras, took issues back to Paul and says, hey, this is what's going on in the church. There's heresy that's going on. There's false teachers that have crept in. And Paul is going to give him counsel through this letter on what to tell the church. It was written to combat heresy, false teaching in the church of Colossae, and it's written to teach us today. There's an extension from there into our world today. Now, the protection, we talked about the protection that you have against false teachers. The number one protection, and someone can actually say this word, the number one protection is that you must be a Berean. Good job. Good job, because the Bereans searched the Scripture to see what was said by Paul was true. So you want to confirm that it is a true word. But the second thing that protects you are shepherds, elders within the body. They have a responsibility. If there's false teaching coming into the body, the Bereans haven't done their jobs, and the elders haven't done their job. Remember, the shepherds in 1 Peter chapter 5 were to feed the flock. You feed them with the Word of God. You are to guide them, to guard them, to encourage the sheep to advance farther. That's what a shepherd does. A shepherd leads the flock and protects the flock. Very, very different than somebody who is a hireling. A hireling will run. A hireling will not protect the flock. A hireling will protect themselves before they protect the flock. Now, thinking about shepherds, in 1 Peter 5, last time when we reviewed this, they were not to serve by compulsion, but to serve willingly. You're not serving because someone's making you. You're not serving because you want to make your mom and dad proud that you're going to be a pastor, teacher, or something. You're doing it because God has called you into it. That's why you're doing it. You don't do it for dishonest gain. Get money. You know, there are people out there that think you get rich with this thing. I guess there are people that get rich with it, okay? The money preachers. But, you know, you don't do it for that reason, fleecing the flock. You are to serve eagerly. It is a calling. It is a calling. The shepherds are going to lead, not drive the sheep. They will love the sheep. That means when you love somebody, you will give yourself for them. And the shepherds will die for the sheep. Remember, a hireling will run from the wolves. They will sacrifice the sheep to protect themselves. Not the shepherd. Now, prior to addressing false teachers, Paul laid a foundation last week. You remember, we laid a foundation of what we are to be built upon. Jesus is the rock, isn't he? He's the rock that all of our lives must be built upon if we're going to have a solid foundation. He starts it. But then we've had several other things added: prayer, faith, hope, and friends. These are all solid rocks, not moved by the deception of the world. See, we have deception coming at us all the time. It's okay to do this. It's okay to do that. It's okay to compromise. No, we are built upon the rock, the Lord Jesus. There is a way that is right. That is His way, not our way. There's a way that seems right to a man, but the way thereof is the way of death. It's not the right way. It's the wrong way. So, remember, Satan is the great deceiver. He wants to deceive you, and he wants to destroy you. Make no question about that. And he masquerades, how? As an angel of light. We see that in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 13 and 15. Also, his ministers do the same. So you have a lot of deception that is out there. Now that Paul lays a foundation, and again, it's a solid foundation built upon the Lord Jesus, he prays for the people. And this is a prayer from verse 9 through verse 20, is a prayer in Colossians. He's praying for the people. And he's really telling them, know who you are in this world of deception. You are a child of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You are not like the rest of the world. Know who you are. And that's what he's going to be talking about today, and that's what we're going to bring forth today. Well, let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time to study your word. And Lord, I pray that you'd speak to each one of our hearts as you only can do, into our area of need. Lord, there's deception going on all over the place at every level. And I pray that you will help us to be keenly aware of what the enemy is doing behind the scenes. May our lives be brought back into balance with you and your word. I ask you in Jesus' name, speak to us today. Please, Holy Spirit, please teach us what we do not know. Help us to apply what you do teach us. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. So this is a prayer. William Barclay has this to say about prayer. We are trying, this is interesting, because people have different view of what prayer is. He kind of brings it home. We are trying not so much to make God listen to us in prayer as to make ourselves listen to Him. You hear that? You hear that? To make ourselves listen to Him. Not so much He hears us, but that we hear Him. We are trying not to persuade God to do what we want. Isn't that what we want? Oftentimes when we go to prayer, oh God, gimme, 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 and gimme some more. Gimme, gimme what I want. But to find out what He wants us to do. It so often happens that in prayer we are really saying, Thy will be changed, God, when we ought to be saying, Thy will be done. Isn't that interesting? The first object of prayer is not so much to speak to God as to listen to Him. Now, priority number one, in a world of deception, in knowing who you are, we must have a knowledge of His will. What does God really want for us? What is His will for us? And we see that in verse 9. He starts out. Now remember, he has laid a foundation in verses 3 through 7. He's answering Epaphras' concerns about heresy within the church. And in verse 9 he says this, for this reason, we also, since the day we heard it from Epaphras, do not cease to pray for you. Paul heard about the issue. He engaged God on their behalf. That is intercessory prayer. That is what we are to do as the body of Christ when we hear something that somebody has a need. We intercede for them. That's what Paul's doing here. Do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you be filled with the knowledge of His will. Not your will, Colossians. Not your will, church, today. But His will. Big paradigm difference. In all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Now, isn't this different than the way we look at things? Because we want God to conform to us, not us conforming to God. Big difference. So, let me start with this. To not be fooled by false teachers. To not be deceived by false inputs that are coming at you in this culture. To not be deceived by a worldview, you must have knowledge of what His will is for you. Because His will be absolutely counter to the world's will. Do you understand that? That's the truth. That's the truth. Now, how do I know His will? Where do I start? Well, you don't go to the world system to find his will. You don't listen to Facebook about what 18,000 people are saying you should do. You don't listen to karma. Karma, my karma is telling me I should. No, don't go to karma land. Don't go to that. Your feelings, I don't know if you learned this now, but don't trust your feelings. You get rid of that one. Someone else's feelings, where do we go? Where the only place that we can go to know where absolute truth exists is the Word of God, isn't it? We have the Word of God that has absolute truth that tells us how we are to live on this side. Now there's a principle here. There's a principle written in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. And Peter says this, and you have this, His divine power, His power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. And watch this, through our knowledge of Him. Everything, all power, through our knowledge of Him who has called us by glory and virtue. It is gained through His Word. A knowledge of Him is gained through His Word. If you want to know what God wants, you read His Word. It's that simple. Don't go on your feelings. Don't go on what other people are telling you. Don't go what the world tells you. I want to be in line with God. I get it from His Word. Now, we've established that as kind of a foundation principle, haven't we? Okay? So, when he says the knowledge of His will is a priority, the word knowledge is epignosis. Epignosis, that's the Greek word, and it means clear and exact knowledge. Clear and exact knowledge. The Word of God will give you clear and exact knowledge on how you're to live on this side, at least principles for that. Okay? It's not fuzzy like the world. It's not hazy. It's not a mystery. It's exact knowledge. And knowledge is great, but you need to know how to apply the knowledge that you get from the Word. Wouldn't you agree that? Because there are many, knowledge puffs up. There are some people that just read Scripture and memorize Scripture in order to have more knowledge than you on Scripture so I can argue into the ground on my point. Okay? Knowledge puffs up. But you need to be able to apply the knowledge, and that knowledge is applied with all wisdom. Wisdom. Sophia is the word. Sophia is the Greek word. And the definition is this. The knowledge of how to regulate one's relationship with God. That is wisdom. And from extension, if you can regulate your relationship with God, you can regulate your relationship with people. You can regulate your relationship with people. This is called the first principle of life. The first principle of life, wisdom. Now, a person who knows the first principle of life knows how to use knowledge. You have the knowledge. You want to know how to use it, how to apply it. And he says here, with all spiritual understanding. Oh, I want to apply this with spiritual understanding. That word is Sunesis in the Greek, and it means this, how to evaluate people, things, and circumstances. How do I actually apply the first principle of life, wisdom, with spiritual understanding? Now, let me summarize this for you to get this in some congealed format. So, in knowing who I am, in knowing how not to be deceived by contrary worldviews or deception that is coming into your life, which, by the way, is coming in rapidly. It's in a full, all-out attack on us with deception. Okay? Just so we know that. You have to know who I am, not to be deceived. Now, who am I? I am a son of God. I am a child of God. We are the bride of Christ. Okay? That is our relationship. So know this. Know this. He makes available to me His will. He makes available to me His will. He wants me to know His will. He has revealed His will to us. He wants us to know that. So that's the first principle. He makes available. Secondly, know this. He gives me the wisdom and spiritual understanding on how to apply this knowledge. Proverbs 2:6 says this, "For the Lord gives wisdom." From His mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk uprightly. You hear that? He is a shield, a protector to those who walk upright. It helps protect you from making dumb stuff by walking in his wisdom. Walking in his wisdom. He gives wisdom. He stores it up for you. He is a shield to you. But you have to walk in this. It's available to you. If you don't have wisdom, what does James say? Ask. And it will be given to you. Ask. So, with that, so he makes available his will. He gives us the wisdom. But notice this. He expects me. Now this is my part. He, and now he expects me to not simply have knowledge. Remember, knowledge puffs up. But to use and apply what we have learned to any task or decisions in everyday living, this is wisdom. It is the first principle of life given to the believer by God. Now I ask you a question. If you are walking in this wisdom, does this give you an edge on the rest of the world? You bet it. Yes, it does. Yes. You can say it real firm. Yes. Yes. You bet it does. So, we've established that. Now, verse 10, again, in knowing who you are, not being deceived, that's our subject. His will must be applied with wisdom. It's going to end up, what is my life going to be like if I actually apply this wisdom? So, verse 10, there's going to be a change in me. That you may walk, oh, worthy of the Lord. Anytime you see walk, just substitute it with live. That you're going to live worthy of the Lord. Fully pleasing him, not me, him. My life as a Christian is devoted to him. It's not about me, it's about him. Being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Well, let's develop this. The result of living out his will is a changed you. A changed you. Do you understand that? You did not come into Christianity to stay the same you. That you has to go. It has to be a new you pushing forward. Changed you. Now, how will this look? How will this look? Well, you're going to walk worthy. You're going to be fully pleasing. There will be a conduct change. Now, hear this. If there is no first principle applied, if there is no wisdom, if there is no knowledge of how to regulate your relationship with God, if there is no conduct change, if you don't apply the knowledge of his will and wisdom, you will not change. Walk worthy, fully pleasing. Remember, this is a prayer. This is the first principle of life. This is a prayer. We pray not to escape life, but in order to better meet life. You hear that? It's not to escape, but to better meet the challenges in life. God's way with God's wisdom. That our life may be worthy, fully pleasing to God. If we're pleasing God, we're not pleasing the world. You hear that? If we're pleasing God, we're not pleasing the world. Now watch this. The goal of your life is fruitfulness, right? Is fruitfulness. And I want you to hear this. Please hear these words. A compromised life, a life that is half in and half out, results in a half pint Christian. You ever hear half pints? Little squirts, half pints? Half pint Christian. No fruit. Look, if you obey, if a child obeys half of what their parents are saying, that's not working, is it? If we obey half of what God tells, that's not working either. How about in any situation, any home, any church, any team, any work, when people already got about a half effort, that doesn't work in any organization, in any relationship. It does not work. It takes an all-out effect, all-out effort. We must be all in this thing. Now, to be fruitful, you have to be all in. Now, what is fruitful? Well, let me explain. There are five things that are fruit that we see in Scripture. Just briefly, what is fruitful? Number one, if you're all in, you're not being deceived. You're knowing who you are as a Christian, born again of the Spirit, you are. Number one thing is leading people to Christ bears fruit. That's 1 Corinthians 16:15. Now that doesn't mean you seal the deal, but some plant, some water, and some get the privilege of actually leading someone to Christ. But be in the process in your life. Be in the process leading people to Christ. Secondly, praising God. Hebrews 13:15. Praising God. Thank you, God, for everything that you've done for me. I don't understand what's going on in my life, but I still praise you, and I give you honor and glory for who you are. Praising God. And guess what? Oh, here comes a great one. Giving money. Romans 15:26-28. Hey, it's fruit. It's fruit. It shows that you're maturing. Living a godly life, a conduct change, Hebrews 12:11. And finally, godly attitudes, Galatians 5:22-23. These attitudes, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, fruit of the Spirit. These are attitude changes. These are changed me that the people can actually see that is happening within you. Now I ask you to just examine yourself. Are you exemplifying any of these characteristics? Can you see any of this fruit coming out of you? Now this isn't for you to go, do you hear that, Sally? Do you have any fruit? This is introspection time. We aren't the fruit inspectors God is, okay? We are to inspect our lives personally. Not be looking around going, I am not seeing your fruit. That's the Matthew 7:1. Judge not lest you be judged. Fruit. Get on your own fruit. Stay off the other person's fruit. So. Now look at, you have to be all in to be fruitful. Half in people will not be fruitful. You understand that? Okay? So in a world of deception, in knowing who you are, verse 10b and 11 says this, the changed you is an overflow of being all in. An overflow of being all in is a changed you. Now watch this in 10b and 11. Increasing in knowledge of God. Now watch what's going to happen to you who are all in, who are really changed. Strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy. Take that one. Now, increased in the knowledge of God. Now, I submit to you, this is a life process. This isn't, I went to seminary and I have all the knowledge and you don't, and look how smart I am and you're an idiot. No, that's not what we're talking about. It's a life process. And it isn't just knowledge. It's not simply information that is implied here. It's experiential. Have you experienced God? If you've experienced God, you've been changed by God. No one that comes in contact with God is not changed in some way. No one. Have you experienced his power, his presence, his provision, and his protection? Just ask him. An overflow, another overflow of being all in, is watch this. Strengthened with all might, his strength in me. His strength in me. It's can-do strength. Can-do strength is in you. That strength is dunamo. D-U-N-A-M-O-O. And this is just for your edification. All Greek words are starts with duna. The prefix duna means that you are capable or able or can do. He gives you can-do strength. But he doesn't just do that. Watch this next one. An overflow of being all in is his glorious power. That power is karatos. K-R-A-T-O-S. Now, in this world of deception, we really need this. We need karatos power. It's defined as this. Manifested power and dominion. But it has a second meaning. And listen to this meaning. The presence and significance of force or strength rather than its exercise. You are so powerful, so overwhelming, that you are intimidating to the enemy. You don't even have to exercise your power. Think about the United States with an atomic bomb. Overwhelming force, intimidating. Think about Alexander the Great. Alexander the Great, when he was marching on countries, countries would just fall down before him and say, hey, we yield. That's kratos power. Doesn't have to manifest, doesn't have to use it. People know that it's there. Overwhelming power and strength. The threat is so great, you don't even have to use it. That's what is available to you. kretos power. God not only tells us his will, but he gives us the power to perform his will. The kretos power he gives you to perform his will. To perform it. So, and then finally, number four in overflow is this, of power, of this kretos power is, watch this, a changed you, patience. Now, I'm not going to ask you this question, to raise your hand, but does anybody in here besides me need patience? Yeah, okay. Yeah, don't have to raise your hand, but we'd all be up there. Hupomone is the Greek. Patient with circumstances. Patient with what's going on around you. That's not the only one. Long-suffering. Macrothumio means slow to heat up. Slow to heat up. Patient with people. Slow to heat up with people. You ever need a little of that one? You're going to need it in a couple months when you start going to Thanksgiving and after, get to that mall and parking spots. You're going to need a little macrothumio. It's where we get our word thermometer. Patient with people. But I'll tell you another result of kretos power. Look at this. Joy. You ever see people? Gloom, despair is hanging in on me. Deep, dark depression. Yeah. Yes, in this world, you can't have joy. You can't have joy in this world with kretos power. We can't have joy. In a world of deception, in a world of a contrary view, with his power, it has to be his power, we can't manifest this. We don't just wake up and say, okay, I'm going to be joyful today, I really mean it this time. No, it doesn't work that way. And remember, this is reserved for those who are all in. If you're all in with Christ, you have this. But if you're half in, half out, half pint Christian, you won't have this. And you're going to wonder, why doesn't this work for me? It does not work for half in, half out, half pints. It just doesn't. Only for those all in. Now, what do you see in a person who's all in, walking in this type of power? What you see is a mature Christian. Try to find one. Try to find one of those people. Mature Christian. And you know what, mature Christian, one of the real characteristics, you'll be able to identify this, and I've mentioned this before, but I want to reiterate it. Thick skin, soft heart. Thick skin, everything isn't just brutal to you. You're not just walking around all chippy, oh, look at they didn't say hi to me today. Oh, look at they didn't, you know, I'm just so bruised and wounded. No, thick skin, tender heart for people. Looking more like Jesus, this is the goal. It only happens, folks, when you're all in. Doesn't happen to half pints, half in, half out, folks. Verse 12, in a world of deception and knowing who you are, oh, look at this. This is great. If you haven't zeroed in on anything yet, this is a zero in time. It's good to know you have an inheritance. Yay. That's all I can say is yay. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us, oh, Father qualified us, to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. This is written to the Christians in the light, walking in the light, walking in his will and his way. Now let's develop this. Never, ever forget this. Never, ever, ever forget this. Your inheritance is because of Jesus. Pure and simple. It's not because of you. It is because of Jesus, what he did in you. He brought you into his family. He pursued you when you wanted nothing to do with him. Isn't that the truth? We were like Barry Sanders running down with a straight arm. We didn't want God. God somehow broke through that, broke into our hearts, took the veil off, and allowed us to see his son. That's what God did. He did it to each one of us. None of us. We were straight arming God most of our life. Straight arming him. When you wanted nothing to do with him, folks, we owe him everything. We owe God our best. We owe God our best. Now, thinking about inheritance because of Jesus, Paul, I just want to give you an example. Paul, in speaking to Agrippa, King Agrippa, in Acts chapter 26, verse 18, Paul is telling King Agrippa, prior to going to Rome, to be put in the prison and eventually beheaded down the line. He's telling King Agrippa what happened to him on the Damascus Road. And in giving this witness, he's telling King Agrippa, this is what Jesus told me. Jesus said, Paul, I'm sending you to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to the power of God. That's what each one of us was delivered from, the power of Satan, who's real. He's not a mystery. He's not just make-believe. He's real. From the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins. Oh, watch this. And an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. Now look it. Because of Jesus, exclusively because of Jesus, we have an inheritance. In Romans chapter 8, it tells us this. Listen to this. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Children is technon in that verse. Technon means a natural born child. When you come into the family of God, he treats you like a natural born child. You're not some stepchild that's second class, like in some cultures or some situations. You're like a natural born child. I love that. And if children, if we are natural born children, then we are heirs and heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Now, isn't that amazing? We are joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Whatever Jesus has inherited, we get to inherit. That's what he's saying here. But notice there's a qualifier. Hear the qualifier. If indeed we suffer with him. Now, in order for me to suffer with him, am I going to be half in, half out, half pint? Or I have to be all in? Folks, you want to suffer for the Lord Jesus, you've got to be all in. It's the only way you're going to make it, to be all in. The church in Iraq is all in. The church in communist country in China, all in. No half pints, half in, half outs. Those don't survive. Those don't survive. You've got to be all in. Join heirs. If we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together with him. Listen to what John MacArthur says about this. Joint heirs. God has appointed his son to be the heir of all things, Hebrews 1:2. Every adopted child will receive by divine grace the full inheritance Christ receives by divine right. Isn't that something? Inheritance that we have, a divine inheritance, because we are rightly related to the Lord Jesus. You have this inheritance because he took you from a kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. Watch with us in verse 13 and 14. It was God who rescued you from Satan's kingdom. You didn't do it. Your mommy and daddy didn't do it. Your aunties and uncles didn't do it. Your Sunday school teacher didn't do it. These people might have been facilitators in the process, but folks, it was God that did it. He rescued you. Verse 13 and 14, and this will make this absolutely clear. He is speaking of Father. He, Father God, has delivered us who believe from the power of darkness. Just as a side note, that word power is not kratos power, but it's exousia. It means permissive authority. Satan has permissive authority, just as a side note, for this short eon of time called earth time. His authority will end. And it will end soon. Just so you know. This is not kratos power. This is limited authority for a limited period of time. Exousia. He has delivered us from the power of darkness. And oh, he conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. And if there's ever a time to say hip, hip, hooray, clap for that, that's it. Yeah, that's right. Well, yay, we'll do that. Okay, I'm with you. Everybody born in this world, every baby, we see these babies in here that look so nice and lovely, and you just want to, well, sometimes you want to hug them, and sometimes you don't, but sin natures, every one of them. Don't feed them for about 2 hours. You see it come out. Just saying. Okay. Romans 5:12 is this: by one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and death passed upon all men because all men have sinned. We have the sin curse placed on us. Everybody's lost. Everybody's condemned. Everybody's hell-bound. All humans are born into the kingdom of darkness. But notice that the Father rescues us. Isn't that just wonderful? He throws the lifeline out to all humanity. He rescued us. He's delivered us from the power of darkness. How has he done that? He sent his Son, and we have the word redeemed. You must know what this word redeemed means. It means paid the price. Paid the price for a slave. He purchased us out of the slave market of sin. He paid the ransom price for us slaves. We were enslaved to Satan and his will and his way. And he bought us. He paid the price with his blood. When we take communion, we're going to be celebrating his blood, his broken body that he did. And we do it in remembrance of him. He purchased us. What a God. He rescued us. His life for ours. His blood. This was the only way man could be rescued. There is no other way. That's why Christianity is exclusive. It required God coming to earth. Man can never make himself good enough. There is no making yourself better and better and better and better and better until finally in Buddhism you're in nirvana and you're one with the universe. No! God has to make you right with God. He sends his Son. Jesus is the only way to be right with God. Now, this is significant because when a man says that I'm good enough, I'll take my chances, I deserve heaven because I'm better than Sam, I'm better than Sammy. I'll tell you, when you start saying, when you reject God's best, when you say I'll take my chances, when you say I'll seek another way to God, I will go my way, God. I can get to heaven my way. I don't need your way. When you start saying that, all roads lead to God. You might follow Jesus, but I can follow Buddha or Hinduism or humanism or my way or whatever way I want. When you start saying that, you are in big danger. Let me tell you, Jesus, a perfect sacrifice, Jesus was a perfect sacrifice appeasing the wrath of God. When man rejects God's gift, when he rejects God's gift and says that his way is better, this is an affront to God. This is a major offense. It's like spitting in God's face, saying, I know better than you, God. Now just think about this. You don't even know how electricity, why these lights come on. 99% of them, we don't know how this works. Click a, you do that. How do you get information into your phone? How many of you guys understand that one? Now look at the creation. And we're saying, I know better than you, God, and I can't even figure out how this works or how the click thing, the switch works. Can you see the hubris, the arrogance of humanity? Saying, I know better than you, God. And by the way, God, I think we can coexist with all religions together. That's a lie. That's deception. You understand? There is one way to God, and that's through his Son. And please remember that it was God who conveyed us. God who conveyed us. One person wrote this. He said, this is a word with a special use. In the ancient world, when one empire won a victory over another, it was the custom to take the population of the defeated country and transfer it lock, stock, and barrel to the conqueror's land. Thus, the people of the northern kingdom were taken to Assyria, lock, stock, and barrel. And people in the southern kingdom of Babylon, lock, stock, and barrel. So Paul says that God has transferred the Christian to his own kingdom, lock, stock, and barrel. You've been taken out of the kingdom of darkness. You have nothing more to do with the kingdom of darkness and conveyed in the kingdom of the Son of his love, whom you have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin, lock, stock, and barrel. You have no part of that world and no right to dabble in that world when you've been taken lock, stock, and barrel out of that world. You understand? Okay, just so we know. So the result is when you said yes to Jesus' offer of life, you were instantly transferred. Instantly. It wasn't a process. It was instant. Boom. I believe. Spirit of God came within. No longer does Satan have ownership over me. You went from darkness to light, from pitch black darkness to light. You went from a slave to free. I'll tell you, that's the Emancipation Proclamation. This is the emancipation of humanity. From slave to free. That's what we went from. From condemned to forgiven. Remember, Jesus took all of our condemnation, not just some of it. When you start feeling condemned again, like you're not good enough, just remember that Christ took all of our condemnation. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. You don't have to walk in condemnation anymore. Now, you will be convicted because the Spirit of God convicts His children to draw you back to Himself. Condemnation pushes people away. God's conviction is to draw people back to Him, to get back in right relationship. And finally, we have been delivered, conveyed out of Satan's power to God's power. A new kingdom, a new king, a new destiny. Behold, all things become new. Now let's conclude this. Conclusion. Summary. In a world of deception, knowing who you are, that's what we're talking about. With this knowledge, know who you are. You are a child of God, bride of Christ, redeemed. We're all those things we've already discussed. But know this. In knowing who you are, the next thing is act like who you are. Act like who you are. Not half in, half out Christians. Not half pint Christians. Act like who you are. May the world see more of the new you and less of the old you. Don't you want that? I want my family to see the new me, not the old me. The old me comes out enough. Stick him back in the box. Tie a knot around that dude. Keep him out of the way. They don't need the old me. And finally, know who you are, act like who you are, or be who you are, and finally act like who you are. Not half in, not half out. Did I say that right? Second one is be who you are. The third one is act like who you are. So let's do some soul searching for just a second. Just do some introspection. Look with inside your hearts. Close your eyes for just a second. Look inside of you. Do you know who you are? Do you know who you are? Are you really in Christ? Has He really saved you? Can anyone really tell by your conduct that you're in Christ? Can anybody? Just ask yourself that question. Then ask yourself this. Are you all in? Are you half in? Do you know His will for your life? And finally, do you know the first principle of life? Wisdom and how to apply the knowledge that you've learned? Do you know the first principle of life? How are you doing on your journey? That's a question we have to ask ourselves. You know, examine yourself to see whether you're under faith. Test yourself. You know where Jesus Christ is in you. For those who know they're all in, you're special. You're special people. For those who are just everything to God, this next few seconds is for you. Live your life in spite of what's happening around you, in spite of the deception, in spite of the attacks, live your life anyway. Listen to this. This is titled, Anyway. In a world of deception, folks, we're different anyway. People are unreasonable, illogical, and self-centered. Love them anyway. That is our goal. If you do good, people will accuse you of selfish, ulterior motives. Do good anyway. Be all in. Do good anyway. If you are successful, you win false friends and true enemies. Don't let that stop you. Succeed anyway. Go all out for Christ. The good you do today will be forgotten tomorrow. Do good anyway. Honesty and frankness make you vulnerable. Be honest and frank anyway, but be sensitive. Be sensitive. People favor underdogs, but follow only the top dogs. Folks, fight for the underdogs anyway. What you spend years building might be destroyed overnight. That's the truth, isn't it? Don't be afraid. Build anyway. Gosh, that might be a word for me. People really need help, but may attack you if you help them. Now, this is the truth. Let me say that again. People really need help, but may attack you if you help them. Take the risk and help people anyway. Know who you are, folks. And finally, give the world the best you have, and you'll be kicked in the teeth. whoever wrote this, I mean, you'd be kicked in the teeth. I think this is pretty good. Give the world the best you've got anyway. You represent your king. Give him the best. Know who you are. Be all in. Your life can make a difference in spite of the deception. In spite of the deception. Be all in anyway. In a world of deception, know who you are. You belong to a king. Serve him. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time to study your word. And Holy Spirit, as always, you're the teacher. You're the one that helps us with these things. And Lord, there's been a lot of information that's gone out here today. I realize that people only absorb little bits. May that little bit be the exact bit that each person is needed. Lord, where there needs to be changes in life, where there needs to be people to make decisions and say, I'm tired of being a half-in, half-out, half-pint Christian. May they be all in and devote themselves fully to you. For those that aren't born again of the Spirit, have never really experienced the saving power of our Lord, may today be the day that they come to know you as Savior. Oh, Lord, come into their lives. Touch them in their area of need. Father, right now I ask you that you'd work in the hearts of people. Is there anybody here today that doesn't know Jesus as their Savior? Would you please have the courage to raise your hand? I'd like to pray with you. Father, I pray that you'll, again, take this information. We don't get information just to hear it. We get it to apply it. May we apply it into our area of need. I ask you in Jesus' name, Father, in Jesus' name, please, we need you in this world of deception. We need you. Help us to see rightly. In Jesus' name, amen.